Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly with you. Getting ready to talk some college football. And to help us do that, we go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We welcome in Jake Crane, host of Crane and Cone at On 3. Jake, thanks for coming on, taking some time with us. How's it going this morning?
Oh, man, of course. Appreciate y'all having me. Going great. Got an 18-month-old wife due with our second August 8th. So, I'm just trying to batten down the hatches until then.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm sure you're going to be busy, especially heading into college football season.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife, poor thing. I mean, she's going to play both ways. She's basically the Travis Hunter of wives this season.
I love it. Well, congratulations. We're glad to have you on the show today. Wanted to start with the local teams here, Jake. Let's start with Vanderbilt. Coming off the first 10-win season in program history, what are your expectations for Clark Lea and company as they begin a new era and try and build off the momentum that Diego Pavia left here on West End?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the expectations been raised, the standards been raised there, you know, getting Jared Curtis. And for a lot of people, again, you know, Vandy has become more popular, but I still don't think people really invest in Vandy and dive into what they have. Jared Curtis is the best prospect I think that has ever signed with Vanderbilt. And I'm not even talking about stars or any of that. I think he may be the most ready freshman to play. I think he's more ready than Bryce Underwood. I think he was more ready than Arch Manning coming out of high school. When you look at the physical tools, his overall natural passing ability. But the question for Vanderbilt to maintain the place that they've gotten to under Clark is, can you continue to get better at the line of scrimmage and build depth along the line of scrimmage? You know, there's a lot more wide receivers, DBs, running backs running around out there than there are offensive tackles and defensive ends that can play in the SEC. So really where I think Vandy has elevated themselves outside of, you know, Diego Pavia being the witch that he was on the line of scrimmage. They're not having to struggle uphill as much, which means you're not having to get as lucky or catch as many breaks or trying to fool people. And when you look at what Tim Beck does offensively, his ability to manufacture yards, especially in that 1 to 8 yard window, I think is one of the reasons that Vanderbilt has been able to maintain this success. And I think they're only going to get better up front the more success they have, therefore, you know, convincing the people that matter the most to invest in football. So I don't think they're going anywhere. Are they going to win 10 this year? I don't think so, but they are set up for the future to be an absolute problem in this league, and who knows where it could end in the era of NIL. I know there's a lot of rich Vandy grads, and you get them hyped enough about football, they'll throw you some coin.
Yeah, you're probably not wrong there. And you talk about Jared Curtis's readiness, and he hasn't been named the starting quarterback yet, but if he
didn't go to Vandy to sit the bench for a play, I promise you that. There's some backdoor handshakes that have been done.
It's not going to be Blaise Berlewitz.
Hey, I mean, until Clark Lea makes it official, he has not been named the starting quarterback yet. But
Can I just announce it for Clark on the show? Can I just go ahead and announce it?
Yeah, you're going to just, you know, get it out of the way here. But when it comes to his development, you talk about his readiness. What does the learning curve look like for him as he does get adjusted to playing in the SEC, a couple of tough road games early on against Auburn and Georgia?
Well, the best part is, I, and again, you know, you've got to see the mental play out, because that's the biggest question. I mean, being mentally ready in high school is a lot different, even if you're above everybody else mentally, than being able to go through the grind that is a Division I, you know, schedule, especially in the Southeastern Conference. But the great part is the physical part's done. There's not one thing this guy can't do at a high level, even as young as he is. So I would much rather have a guy that has all the physical ability, and he's going to go through some ups and downs. But I think the learning curve for him is going to be quicker, because I do trust the mental side of not only what he did in high school, but the way they develop quarterbacks there at Vanderbilt. And that system, I think, is very conducive to young guys, because there's a lot of outs. There's a lot of pre-snap stuff that goes on. But look, just like, you know, it's amazing. A lot of people just assume now that freshman quarterbacks are going to come in and ball, because it happened a couple times. That's the anomaly. The normal is you're going to have ups and downs. This is you learning. This is you going in the Walmart parking lot at 11 at night and learning how to drive with your dad. That's what this is. But once you learn it, you learn it. And so what I'm interested to see is how he grows throughout the season, because to me, that is going to be the marker for what Vandy can possibly do for the next 2 years.
Jake, we're going to stay in the SEC here, because I saw that you guys over there at Crane and Cone ranked your top five SEC games, and I thought for sure that LSU and Ole Miss was going to be number one. It was actually number two, behind Texas and Texas A&M. So explain your reasoning behind that.
Yeah, and I think, and we said this on the show, we're dropping our Big Ten one today. It seemed like people really enjoyed the SEC when we did yesterday. To me, you can't just go and say, okay, who are the biggest brands and the best teams, and those will be the top five games. There's a lot more that goes into that, because schedules are different, right? Same thing we just went through with Penn State in the Big Ten. Their schedule's a lot different than what Oregon's going to have to play. So you have to put yourself in a situation where, hey, if we're going to talk about the games that are the most consequential, whether that be for the conference championship, the college football playoff, or the national championship, it's not as linear or as cut and dry. So while LSU and Ole Miss is going to be an incredible game in both situations, championship relevance, and obviously what's gone on with Lane Kiffin there, the hate in that game is going to be at an all-time high. I mean, they're punching each other at baseball games. I can only imagine what's going to happen at the football game. But number one for us was Texas and Texas A&M. And if you look back at the past two seasons, that game has been incredibly consequential. Texas has won both of them, but 1 year, Texas beats A&M, keeps them out of the SEC title game, keeps them out of the college football playoff. Last year, they beat A&M. Texas A&M still makes the college football playoff, and they're both returning a ton. Not only are they returning a ton, but it's the last game of the season, guys. Where it falls on the schedule matters too. So while, for example, LSU and Ole Miss, huge game. I'll give you another one. Georgia and Alabama, huge game, but it's not the last game. So to me, I think we got it about right, about as good as you could get it with the top five. Because to be honest with you guys, we had five other honorable mentions that you could make a case should have been in the top five, maybe even in the top three. I can tell you after doing it, the SEC is going to be an absolute traffic jam. I'm talking interstate traffic jam throughout the whole season.
Well, Jake, I ranked my top 10 games of the college football season last week, and it felt impossible because there were so many games that I left off the list that I'm like, you know, there's a case for to be made that this is a top 10 game in college football, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. I did want to ask, though, what is going to be worse for Lane Kiffin? Going back to Oxford this year, or when he returned to Knoxville in 2021?
I've got to think it's going to be going back to Ole Miss, because, you know, when he it's one thing to leave the way that Lane left Tennessee, right? And that was to go somewhere else outside of the conference. Now, it's still somewhat fresh. I mean, they're throwing mustard bottles and golf balls on the field. But this one is in the conference, and you left this team when they were going to the playoff. Like, you left to go get another girl the night you were supposed to propose. And you basically told Ole Miss, you're not good enough. And then after this, and it's not like you haven't put more fuel on the fire with what you said about what it's like recruiting in Oxford and this, that, and the other. This is as personal as it gets. It is as personal as it gets, and we know the level of rationale of SEC fans when it's that personal. They may have to call the National Guard in for this one. I mean, we haven't seen Mississippi State and Louisiana, or Mississippi and Louisiana, go through this since the Civil War.
Yeah, that game, no matter what happens on the field, it is going to be must-see TV.
Just can you because... imagine social media if Lane loses?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Banner night.
Jake, going to the other side of the state, we talk about Tennessee. This is a team with a lot of talent on it. Is the one big question just can whoever the quarterback is, McIntyre or Brandon, can they make a leap as a freshman and help this team? Because outside of that, this does look like a pretty complete roster that Josh Heupel has built over there in Knoxville.
Yeah, and look, I don't think Tennessee's getting enough credit for what's around the quarterback situation. But, again, we all know the importance of that position. The offensive line should be really good, which nothing helps a new quarterback out like a run game. It's the saving grace. It's the red button in the men in black car. You bring in Jim Knowles. I will say this. I don't think defensively they're going to be as good as what some people think they are. I think it takes a while for Knowles' system to work. You know, the Chaz Coleman situation is unfortunate. They do have talent. But I think this Tennessee team, 8-4 seems about right because you're going to get some up and down. Here's what teams are going to do. All right. And listen, Heupel's offense, the wide choice, it's pretty good at combating this if you become one-dimensional because you're able to supplement the run game with that quick passing game. But teams are going to load the box. That's what they're going to do. And if they can tackle in space on the outside, Tennessee's going to be in trouble. But I do think there is a world in which Tennessee's run game is so good, they're able to lighten that box up, balance that thing out, and the quarterback can become better throughout the season. It's just you mix that with the tough schedule. I'll tell you this, though. I'll tell you this right now. I would rather be in Tennessee's situation from a new quarterback and offensive line than Alabama's situation, which is crazy to say because they got a bunch of talent on the offensive line, but they haven't been able to gel together for about two seasons in a row. So it's a very interesting dynamic when you look at it. I'm not as bullish on Tennessee as some, but it's not like they're going to fall off a cliff.
So, Jake, I wanted to save this for the end because you talked about, you know, your wife or you guys are expecting a baby. I'm also aware that there is a fall wedding within the family.
Oh, God.
How exactly are you going to go about handling that?
Yeah. Well, it's my brother who's a co-host on the show, obviously. And you know what? It wouldn't be so bad if he didn't rail against people for fall weddings for 3 years. I mean, this guy just walked across the aisle. I mean, he went from open borders to nobody gets across the border in 30 seconds. I will say this, though. I think we got a good plan because we do instant reactions to games. So the rehearsal dinner, the way it's going to set up the house that we're at, is we're going to have all the boys there behind us when we do the instant reaction, which is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be awesome or a complete disaster. But, hey, you know, we like living on the – we're basically a Nicolas Cage movie right now.
That is going to be incredible. I'm going to watch. I'm going to make sure to watch.
Oh, dude, I'm not worried about us. I'm worried about them being in
yeah,
the
like, that is a good
sent
point
out,
there.
Like, rules. Like, this is – get hyped up, this, that, and the other. But, you know, we – because it's a wild group now. It's a wild group. So
if it goes wrong, just blame Blaine for putting you guys in this situation.
Oh, 100%. He already knows. I mean, we just got back from the bachelor trip, and Operation Survive was a success. So I'm starting to feel better about it.
I love it. I will be locked in for that to see the instant reaction live from the rehearsal dinner. I think that's great. Jake, thanks so much for taking some time with us this morning. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all having me, and anytime, just hit me up.
Jake Crane from On3, host of Crane and Cone. Make sure you check him out at @JakeCrane_ on X. Appreciate him coming on. Some interesting stuff there on Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 125 The Game.